Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Although nobody wants to punish another, there comes a time when punishment is necessary to prevent an animal from doing something that poses a threat to other people or animals, or the animal him or herself. Responsible punishment means that you do it knowing exactly what it is and what it can and cannot do. Going back to the role of energy in behavior, punishment, like fighting, is one of the most energy-intense responses we can make. Anytime we engage in physical combat with another, the winner is merely the one who loses the least. Both individuals lose, both risk injury, not only physical injury, but also injury to their relationship with each other. Punishment also is energy intense because it may involve physically intervening to keep our animal from hurting someone else. That means we must be willing and able to take the hit ourselves if necessary. Punishment also doesn't have a very good return on our energy investment, even in the mildest forms, which means delivering the punishment calmly, coolly, unemotionally, and at exactly the right moment. It's a dead end. We've missed the opportunity to teach the animal an acceptable alternative should the stressors associated with that particular situation arise again. The punishment will change the relationship. For how long depends on the animal, also depends on the person. How often are they going to resort to this approach? How often are they going to demonstrate that they're one step behind the animal instead of one step ahead, securing this physical and mental space and relieving the need to aggress? How long will it take until the pressure of the unrelieved stress reaches a point that its negative effects on the animal's physiology exceeds any negative response from the owner? So however you look at it, you're not getting a very big bang for your punishment buck, even when it works. But even though punishment at its best isn't that energy efficient when it comes to changing behavior in the long run, there are times when we may need to do it. It's better to accept this and strive to do whatever we need to do to prepare ourselves to do this in the most optimal way to ensure our animals and our own success. Hiding behind the cloak of all positive to avoid facing this possibility isn't all positive. It's cowardly. It's failing to step up to the plate and accept the responsibility that sometimes good dogs or good cats do bad things. And it's our responsibility, our legal and moral responsibility, for the sake of that animal, to step up to the plate. Watch animal parents. The good ones don't punish that much. In fact, the good ones hardly seem to do anything at all. But if they must, they do. And when they do it swiftly and energy efficiently. They're not shaking, they're not slamming, they're not doing any alpha rolls. They don't waste that amount of energy on it. So pay attention to when your animal does something that pushes your buttons. Ask yourself what's going to happen if this animal actually does this. But more importantly, ask yourself, what could I have done to prevent this? What could I have done to relieve the stress that's causing the animal to do this? And then work on that. Get rid of the cause, and you won't have to worry about the effect that much.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.